NHL season starts in about an hour. Let's bring in Matt Stajan, our NHL insider right now. It's Steinberg Will along with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Hello, Matty. What's going on?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Excited. We're ready to rock and roll. It's been a long time without hockey, so it'll be good to have it back. How about you? Are you ready to rock for the season?
I think everybody's ready to rock. It's been such a long wait, so I think you just feel the excitement, even though people aren't out and about like in a normal day. You feel the excitement definitely through social media and everything. Let's go. Let's get this started.
How does opening day feel? This will be year two of you not being part of an opening day somewhere. How does that feel? Is it a little nostalgia? Does it still juicy up? How does it feel as a retired NHLer watching from afar?
Yeah, it's definitely different. But everything's been different about our lives with COVID. So this year's a little bit, it's kind of just the way things have gone. Last year's opening day, the first one I missed, for sure it brings back a ton of memories because, opening day is it's the most exciting time of the year for a player. You work all summer to get to, that point, and finally when the games start meaning something, you're ready to go. Everybody starts at zeros, and that's the feeling everybody has today that's playing. So as a retired guy, I'm just happy to have hockey to watch again, like all of us. And you do reflect back on some of those opening days that you were a part of.
Well, and we'll get into some of the opening season storylines and talk some Flames in just a second. But let me bring you into a conversation we had in our last segment. And I'm not sure if you're 100% familiar with the background, so I'll set it up for you. But Pierre-Luc Dubois was unsigned, and then stories started circulating that he did not want to be in Columbus long-term. Eventually signs a two-year deal. After that, he was asked about it and certainly didn't pour any water on the fire that he wanted out of Columbus. And then John Tortorella today came out and confirmed that he told his teammates that he wants out and didn't really provide any reasons why, according to John Tortorella. Have you ever been in a similar situation to that where you've had a teammate or there's been someone who clearly on a team doesn't want to be there anymore? Take us back to when you were playing and if you can relate to that situation at all.
Yeah, you know what, I bet you on every team, but then quietly, there's always somebody that's not happy with how they're being used or with the situation. But for it to be this wide in the open, it's definitely different, especially in today's age with social media and everything gets out there so quickly. So I've definitely been on teams, and I'm sure every player has, where a guy wants out, they keep it tight to their chest, and they'll mention it to their closest friends on the team, but all you expect of them is to work hard and do everything they can to help the team and hopefully things get done quietly. It's fine, it tends to boil up when the team's not doing well. So right now, obviously, there's a lot of talk, but if Columbus gets off to a bad start, this is going to really turn into not a pretty picture for that team. I think we're seeing it firsthand in the NBA with Harden in Houston. Like, it's just blowing up. It's out in the open. And, it's just not something you want. And you don't see it out in the open like this because there are always, speculation and guys want out. They don't get along with the coach or for whatever reason they want to be playing in a different city. But usually it's done behind closed doors. So this is interesting to watch that the coach is talking about it openly. The player is. He's telling teammates, and it'll be fun to watch. That's for sure. But it's not good for that environment.
Well, and I was just thinking in my head. I'm like, you got some veterans on that team. Like, you think about Nick Foligno or somebody like that. Like, how would you want that handled? If you were in that locker room, if you're a veteran on that team and, one of your better players, a 22, 23-year-old, doesn't want to be there, what would be the best way, in your opinion, inside a locker room dynamic to handle that?
Yeah, well, you have to have good relationships with everybody on the team if you're a veteran guy, if you want to be effective and make sure that things are the way they need to be in the dressing room. So first thing is you just, especially the guys who have the best relationship with them, as an older guy, the guys that have made him feel comfortable, you take him for dinner, you on the road, you just got to be open about it and you know, at the end of the day, they're all men, they're all people, and you just kind of got to pick his brain. And I know it was said that he didn't really give a reason, but there's always a reason, and you can kind of pry it, you know, amongst teammates, I think. You got to put water on the fire, I guess, for until something's done. And for me, I would just go right up to him wherever privately and have a conversation and let him know that, you know, we obviously we want you here and we want your effort, and you're one of the key pieces on our team, so we won't expect anything different. But at the same time, you know, let's not let this be a distraction. If something gets done, it gets done. But I don't think it benefits anybody if things go the way it seems like they're going there right now. So, just being open about it. But it's got to be someone he respects and someone that he has a good relationship with of the older guys, because who knows what that dynamic is in that dressing room. And to tell you the truth, only the guys in that room would know which players are comfortable talking with which veterans and how they all get along.
And I think bottom line, Matty, we can all have an opinion on it, but you've been in a bunch of pro hockey locker rooms, so there's just no real easy way to handle a trade request. It's always going to be awkward no matter how you do it, right?
It is, and at the end of the day, it's such a team sport, and yeah, there's X factors on every team. There's, you know, there's your top guys that you need to produce, but the other 20 guys or 19 guys that are playing, you know, game one for them, they have, you know, they have to make sure that their mindset's to bring everything they can to help the team. And all they can do is hope that Dubois is doing the same thing, because it's such a team sport. And like I said, if they could win a few games here early, that'd be big for them. But if things go sour, and we know Torts, he's not going to be shy if things go sideways. He's going to probably sit that guy on the bench and embarrass him a little bit, which could really make things messy. But this is they kind of, you know, Dubois chose to go this route. I really, you know, I guess he's trying to force Columbus's hand to get out of there. But you don't see it very often in a hockey in the NHL, because just hockey players are more laid back and go about things differently.
I'm really curious, because in the end, anybody who makes it to the NHL, like, you're aware that it's a business, and you know that as much as you're committed to your team, and you also understand there's a business element of it. So just from a personal standpoint, like, if you were in a situation like that inside a locker room, would it rub you the wrong way, or would it kind of be like, hey, this is a business, this is how it goes about it, and let's just make sure it's not a distraction? I'm curious if it would be something that would kind of you would not appreciate.
Definitely, you know, you don't want that to even become a possibility of being a distraction, but it's going to be. So my take on it, and knowing guys, even in my career, you know, guys that want out, you talk to guys and get the feeling from people. So as long as he's there giving his effort every day, and you know, he's not, you know, affecting the team by, you know, maybe lacking or, you know, giving not his all, and it's affecting the team, that then it becomes an issue. And pretty quickly, you'll have a lot of fires to put out. But you have to, you know, it is a business. You have to respect every player at the end of the day and why they might be doing this. But it's team first. And you know, there's 700 jobs in the NHL. I get he's one of the top upcoming players, but like, to hold out like this and be this open about it, not hold out, but to come and play and then be this open about not wanting to be there, you just don't see that. It really boggles my mind. You should cherish every moment you have in the NHL especially as an elite player. You should be embracing the role there. Obviously there's probably more to the story. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. If I'm a guy in that room, yeah, you try and pick his brain, but you got to worry about the team and what's best going forward.
Matt Stajan is with us. He joins us every Wednesday. Of course, today is the opening of the NHL 2021 shortened season. 56 games today. Fingers crossed, knock on wood, we hope that today is the first of 116 consecutive nights with hockey on your television. Last one on this, Matt, just because I'm curious from people that you know around the league and some of the stories you might have, the final tie-in is to maybe a reasoning I'm curious, you have anybody that you've crossed paths with that's played for Torts, any stories on Torts, and maybe why he's such a hard guy to play for?
Yeah, I don't know any stories on Dubois and his situation other than, you know, the playoffs last year when he had the little incident with Torts, but he also played his best hockey. So, you know, I have heard that Torts is, you know, he's a coach you want. He's straight up, tells you like it is. You know, but it does seem that depth guys in the league, guys who are lunch pail guys that you know, work hard at all costs because he expects everybody to play the same way. They seem to really like Torts as a coach, and it seems like the stars kind of are the ones that slip a bit because he holds such a high standard, and it's hard for those guys to play a certain way every day when they already have all that pressure on them. So, you know, it's just take it at what it is. And I think every, you know, we hear the coaches with a shelf life, and Torts is a demanding coach, and he's had success there because of his coaching style. So I don't think, I really don't understand, you know, Dubois, 23-year-old guy. I it's not like he's, you know, been in 5 All-Star games. I don't really understand this one, but yeah, we'll see how it plays out. And yeah, it's just weird that he's there talking this open about, usually it's a holdout, you know, I'm not going to show up to camp, trade me and go from there. But this is, like, he's around every day and he's a big part of their team. It'll be interesting how he gets used in the first game if he's playing, you know, 17 to 20 minutes and, you know, if they're showcasing him or if Torts goes the opposite and says, you know what, you're going to play on the fourth line. It'll be interesting how this goes.
Well, Patty, before we brought you on, Patty had set the over-under. I mean, he's going to play 10 or less games for Columbus this year. Where would you go on that, Matt?
I think under, because I just seeing it this open and Torts even talking about it today, if they lose their first few games, it's going to be, they're going to be in a pinch to do something. Cause you know, like we talked about last week, if you snowball in the wrong direction in a shortened season, you'll be chasing it and it'll be hard to get to the playoffs. And that team, you know, wants to be a playoff team. So we'll see.
Well, and just before you, just before you switch it up, Willie, and I'm just going back. So two that come to my mind in recent memory, and you would have been playing at the time, Matty. There is Ryan O'Reilly's last year in Colorado. Remember when the Flames signed him to an offer sheet? You were with the team. He decided to go back to Colorado, and it was clear he was not long for there. He played one season, a full 82, before getting traded to Buffalo in the offseason. And then the other one that came to mind was when Kyle Turris wanted out of Phoenix. He was a holdout, then he signed, he played 6 games and got traded to Ottawa. So it's kind of both ends of the spectrum. O'Reilly played the whole season before getting traded, and then Turris only got 6 games in before he got traded to Ottawa. So we've seen it both ways.
Yeah, I do remember that. And you know, but I don't remember it being talked about on a daily basis, or we'll see how it goes during the season. But you know, I don't remember like coaches talking about it openly and players. And you know, I guess the good thing is it's Columbus, it's a smaller market, but it's the way the hockey world is now, it's going to be a distraction, let's be honest. There's no way around it. It's just the biggest thing, like I just said, is if they get off to a good start or they don't, what way it's going to snowball and how long they can hold on to him. And it just doesn't look like he's going to change his mind though, so that's unfortunate.
Matty, away from that, if you're in the Calgary Flame locker room getting set to open up your year tomorrow, I mean, this is such a unique season. You're only going to play the teams in your division, but it's kind of one of those seasons where you want to approach it hungry as well because, you know, I asked Tree yesterday, we had him on, and I asked him about gauging your team when you're only playing 6 teams. Yeah, it's not the easiest, but on the flip side of that, I wonder from a player's perspective, you're playing the same teams over and over again. You're going to get a pretty good idea of where you fit in on that, and you know, 4 of 7, for example, in the Canadian division are going to make the playoffs, and one of those 4 are guaranteed a spot in the conference final. Like, that's quite the carrot to dangle in front of these players as they get set for this 56-game sprint, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. I would have loved to have played in an all-Canadian division first season. That's, you know, it's Canada sport. So if you're all playing every game in a Canadian market, it's you know, just the excitement for every game and how closely everything's going to be watched. It's so exciting. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see. I think it'll be interesting. There'll be a lot more, you know, the teams will know each other a lot more and teams will be adapting as they play each other because you're playing so many games against the same team. where you're going to have, and it'll be interesting to see lineups against certain teams, and just because you will be playing them more. So, I hope the guys are ready to go because it's exciting. It is a tough division. I will say, I think the Flames regular divisions probably would have been a little nicer in this situation because I think the Canadian teams are, for the most part, strong teams in the league. But it'll be a battle, and it's great for the sport in Canada and for the fans. And I think we're just all happy to see hockey back.
Last question for you, Matty, before we let you go. You talked about playing in this Canadian division and how much fun it would be. Just if you were to handicap it, like, is there one team, and it could very well be Calgary, is there one team that you say that team is set up the best to have success in this division?
Yeah, if I was to pick and I had to put my money, I just like the Maple Leafs. I just think Freddie Anderson's going to have a big year. He's in a contract year. I think that's going to be big for them, and they got a lot of depth. But honestly, like after that, like I think it's wide open. Like I think Montreal is sneaky good. I think Vancouver has a lot to show and prove that last year wasn't just a fluke. And then, you know, how could you discount Edmonton with two of the best players in the game? And then Calgary, their depth has just gotten so strong, and they've brought in one of the best goalies in the league. So I think it's honestly wide open. You know, you're not hearing a lot about Winnipeg and obviously Ottawa, but those teams are going to be tough to play against, and they have something to prove. So, you know, there's going to be a couple cities that aren't happy at the end of the year because they won't be in the playoffs that are expecting to be, because I think, six of the seven cities all expect to be there.
Good stuff, Matty. Really appreciate it. That was a lot of fun. Enjoy the start of the season. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Take care. Enjoy.